Hello and welcome to We the People. I'm Gargi Rawat. Today on the show, an issue that concerns each and every one of us, an issue we all need to think about and help in any way that we can, and that's India's impending water emergency. Already the crisis is all around us. Chennai is facing the worst water crisis it's ever seen, with lakhs of people depending on water, private water tankers, as taps are going dry, establishments have to shut down, people aren't going to offices, children are missing school and lining up for water. And while Chennai is the largest city facing a water crisis right now, there's also a drought-like situation in almost half of the country. That's parts of Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Karnataka and Andhra, to name just a few. So there's an urgent need for us to drought-proof our cities, manage our water resources better, and that is really key. And we also, each one of us, need to drastically cut down on the wastage of water that we see all around us if we want to save ourselves from this water emergency. Well, to talk about this today on the show, we have with us from the Aam Aadmi Party, we have Raghav Chadha, who's going to tell us what the Delhi government is going to do to drought-proof Delhi. We also have Professor Manohar Khushalani, former director, National Water Academy. He's worked with the Central Water Commission. He's also acted in various movies as well. Also, V.K. Madhavan, CEO of WaterAid. We'll also have guests joining us from Chennai, but also joining us, Medha Patkar, social activist and someone who fought against the displacement of people due to dams on the Narmada River. That is something she's renowned for, and it'll be very interesting to get her opinion on this crisis that's facing us right now. Also, Arunabha Ghosh, CEO of Center for Energy, Environment and Water. Dr. Vaman Acharya, BJP spokesperson from Karnataka. And also joining us is Sarnath Banerjee, author and graphic novelist. He's joining us from sizzling Europe right now. And he wrote a story on Delhi citizens going mad and over a water shortage. It was called All Quiet in Vikaspuri. So a dystopian sort of a story. Maybe that could be the reality of Delhi going forward. Well, to talk more about this crisis, we are going to go across to Chennai, of course, because they're right now in the midst of the crisis. But a recent WWF report has spoken about how Chennai is, it's a city that's facing the worst water crisis right now. But also on the list are Kolkata, Mumbai and Delhi. So what is the Aam Aadmi Party going to do to drought-proof our city, ensure that there's a better water supply to all Delhiites?
Right. So first of all, when we got into office, the availability of water as well as access to piped water, both were very limited. In the last 4.5 years, we've increased the availability of water and we are at a record 940 MGDs, which hasn't been the case in the history of Delhi. So we are operating at the highest possible level in terms of availability of water is concerned. As far as access to piped water is concerned, when we were in office, when we got into office, less than 50% of Delhi had access to piped water. Now 80% of Delhi has access to piped water because of relentless efforts by this government. Having said that, a lot needs to be done when it comes to water conservation, water rejuvenation and rainwater harvesting. What we have, the few things that we are doing is that we are rejuvenating 159 lakes in Delhi at a cost of about 400 odd crores. We are setting up two mega lakes, one in Rohini and one in eastern part of the city at a cost of about 100 odd crores. We are building big, big reservoirs. One particular one that is being built is in the Yamuna flood plains that will store, water, etc. And we have laid down a clear policy for encouraging and incentivizing rainwater harvesting so that going forward in Delhi, every rooftop or every locality, every housing society should have a rainwater harvesting structure, and it needs to be incentivized. And those who do not adopt the rainwater harvesting policy of the government, they need to perhaps would have to bear an extra cost, whether it would be in the increase of a property tax, etc. So some things are being done when it comes to water conservation, but a lot needs to be done. And I must also say that that particular report also points out that Delhi is the only city in the country, the only state, if I may say so, where maximum number of households have piped water. So that is what we have achieved, which was not the case when we got into office, but a lot needs to be done. And
all
is
right,
being
yes,
done.
And there's a Niti Aayog report which talks about how 21 cities are going to go dry, not by in some future time, but by next year is what they've said. Of course, some people have questioned those findings and the reports that have been quoted. But Mr. Madhavan, where do you think we've gone wrong, and what needs to be urgently done to address this situation? Because every year we have droughts and then we have floods, so obviously we're not managing our resources well.
So you know, at the outset, I want to make 3 or 4 points. The first is that this problem is not a new problem. It's taken us 7 decades to get here. So what we are seeing is a situation that has emerged because of neglect going back seven decades. We've basically not valued
not
water.
Keeping up with our development and population.
We've not valued water. We haven't made, we've focused entirely on distribution. We haven't looked at conservation of water. And consequently, we have a situation now where we have problems with quality. We are uncertain whether the source of water is sustainable. And we have problems in distribution as well. I think the second point that we should remember is that today we're talking about Chennai, the crisis in Chennai. The tragedy is that not having assured access to safe water is a reality that has persisted in India for a long time. There continue to be people in all our cities and in many parts of rural India who have not had assured access to safe water for a long time. It becomes a story when people like us, when companies, when enterprises start to get affected, then it becomes a story. But the fact is that we've had inequity in distribution of water for a very long time. I think the third thing we should remember is that cities on their own are largely dependent on groundwater. At best, will have some surface water that they can depend on. But a significant portion of the requirement for water actually comes from rural areas. So there is a trade-off between water being provided to the city and from where that water is actually coming. And so the solution for ensuring water for the city.
You see, we ignore rural India a lot, and we only focus on this when it affects people like us.
So you can have some solutions in your city, and you have to try and reduce your dependence on rural areas, but you need to recognize that if you want to ensure that all your cities have access to water, you also need to make investments in rural areas from where you're drawing water out.
All right, interesting points, especially the inequity when it comes to, you know, these sort of issues, and especially given, you know, when it comes to water. But Professor Khushalani, do you feel we need to have a more decentralized approach when it comes to these water issues? We know the government has said that it's going to provide piped water to all households by 2024, but where is this water coming from? Do you think we need, each state needs to think about how they're going to manage their water resources, and each city and town needs to think about how to locally manage their water resources?
No, that's not possible. Locally, you can manage at a rural level and all that,
right,
by check dams and all that, but let us realize one thing. The state boundaries do not recognize river boundaries. They do not recognize the river basin boundaries. So you have to, in a way, we have to have, one is a virtual state, which is the river basin, which can extend from up to 8 or 10 or 4 or 5 or 3 or 2 states. And other is the political boundaries. Therefore, the biggest problem is that we are having water as a state subject. It should be a center subject.
Don't you think it needs to be balanced, a bit of both, and the states need to do more themselves as well? And of course, the center has to have a holistic all-India approach.
It's already a state subject.
Right.
For example, the designs which were being done by the Design and Research Wing in Central Water Commission, they were being constructed by the state. Central Water Commission was only helping them because it had the know-how, the technology and all that. They were designing the whole structure for them. They were looking into the various elements that go into developing a dam or a water project or a canal or something like that. But ultimately, the states are the ones who have been doing construction. And another problem that happens when states are given more control over this is that you have these big, interstate disputes on water. Because water is a resource which should be available to all human beings, irrespective of their financial status.
That is an issue we're going to see, and especially with the government talks about things like, river linking as well. I mean, that's going to see more and more, the way I see it, more disputes, and that's what critics of these sort of big projects have said, that is something that leads to more issues between states.
Absolutely.
And it becomes a political issue, obviously.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like we see Kaveri between Karnataka and Tamil Nadu.
It becomes a political issue, and then another problem is you already designed all the structures along a particular river. Depending upon how much water available is being taken away and how much is required downstream. Now, suddenly, if you connect the rivers, do the interconnection, then you have to take into this thing that how much water are we taking away from here? So it will require some kind of massive studies. You see, it has to be, it's a whole network.
Right, I want to talk more about this river linking, but I'd like to go across to Medha Patkar right now. And as somebody who's fought on the issue of, big dams and water and displacement of people, and given the situation we find ourselves in right now, what is your opinion, especially given that climate change and all these issues that are happening, you know, whether it's shortage of water, etc., it's affecting the poor the worst. The rich are still managing, you know, they can still pay those private water tankers. But this is something we have to think about, how it's not democratic, the sort of problems being faced by everyone.
Gargi, the Chief Minister of Karnataka just gave a judgment saying that the right to water is a part of right to life. And I would add that it is also a part of right to livelihood. Take the riverine populations or the coastal populations or the interior hilly tribal regions. Everywhere, including the rural and the urban slums, the 93% of the working class in this country, which is poor and deprived and exploited, really is now, you know, screaming for water. Not just Chennai, but in every city also, 85% of water goes to 15% of the population. This inequity is absolutely vulgar and it is unconstitutional. And still we are tapping the water resources from large catchments into the big rivers with the big dams. United States of America just demolished more than 100 dams, that is decommissioning of dams. And why did they do that? Well, we are following their earlier model of Tennessee Valley development, and we are destroying our rivers, we are destroying our catchments, because the catchments are to be caught for any river to flow and the water to be preserved and conserved. Now that should happen beginning with the mini and micro watershed. Instead, we are catching the macro watershed. And interlinking of rivers is no solution at all. Here, we must really tap our water sources where the first drop first falls. We must allow the rivers to flow. Otherwise, Narmada is going to get converted into Yamuna. And the big cascade of dams on each big river, Krishna, Kaveri, Godavari, Narmada, Ganga, is really giving to umpteen number of conflicts, not just among the states, but also between the state and its people, because the riverine population is never consulted. Their right to water, even the watersheds and the rivers, are never consulted. And unscientific way, the rivers and the water sources are managed, while groundwater is going to be the only source. And percolation doesn't require large dams. It requires small tanks, small ponds, starting with the Khet Talab, starting with the green cover to cover the land and the water sources. And that is how the Saifuddin Soz got the study conducted. But now the Jala Shakti Mantralaya is going to become a Jala Satta Mantralaya, as if the government and the central government owns the whole of water resource. The Gujarat has brought out an absolutely unjust act, which is also unscientific, claiming that the government has control on every river, every well, every groundwater reserve. This is not acceptable.
All right, I'd like to bring your attention to something the Madhya
gives every village community.
All right, yes. An important point, Medha Patkar, you're making also about how, you know, I think this is something Madhavan also said, that, you know, we're just focusing a lot on Chennai and its crisis. But given that rural India has been in crisis for so long, Madhya Pradesh government is currently mulling bringing in a water act, a right to water act, and that will actually rationalize water per person. It has a certain, liters per person per day, and it'll also make it more stringent, punishment for wastage of water. What is your opinion on that?
We welcome the any act and legislation that will give water right to the people. This is a great move. This is similar to the South African act on the minimum water to be given to every citizen, human being, and also preserving for the living beings. But what will be the ways and means to ensure that? Even Madhya Pradesh, if they depend on the large dams on Narmada, let me tell you, we cross the river on foot. Where are the Narmada Bhaktas who carry the parikrama? And Mr. Modi, the Prime Minister, declared in Lok Sabha that he fasted and got the Sardar Sarovar completed. Anyone who has completed the Sardar Sarovar at the cost of 30,000 families in the submergence area till today, and without the scientific planning of the water regulation and monitoring, and giving more and more water to the 481 industries in Gujarat, not to the Kutch and not to the farmers or Adivasi displaced in Gujarat, that is a criminal act. And hence, I think when the acts are violated, when the laws are not bothered about, laws of the nature are also not cared for. So I think the Madhya Pradesh should not go for the linking piping projects. That is not the solution. Those are not manageable. Even at the 5 kilometers, the water pipes are broken. There is corruption everywhere.
Yes, this is a big issue about how much there's wastage of water in this, you know, when we transport our water or send it through these pipelines. But let's get Dr. Acharya in for a moment also to answer that and also speak about the situation in Karnataka. Dr. Acharya, Medha Patkar making several points about big dams and, you know, the wastage of water that comes in, and also the need for the government not to have these big projects, rather have more localized, decentralized, push some projects on those lines as well.
I couldn't hear the last part of it, but anyway, whatever you have said at the beginning, the question of big dam storing water here, there are only that way three big dams. One is at Krishna, the other is at Tungabhadra, and third is at Kaveri. These are the three dams. Karnataka is one of the, in the whole country, second most drought hit state, only after Rajasthan. Though Rajasthan has lot of very dry districts, similar is the case in Karnataka also. Many of the districts here are already dry. This year, especially this season, from June 1st to June 26, 27 till yesterday, the total amount of rain is 30% less than what it used to be already. Means Bangalore, from where I'm speaking right now, Bangalore used to get heavy rains from June 7th, 8th up to June end. Till today, we have not received a drop of rain in Bangalore even. Bangalore is at height, and drinking water problem throughout the state are quite serious. But at Bangalore, we were getting sufficient drinking water from Kaveri. But this year, unfortunately, since it has not rained much in Kodagu, Kurga district, the drinking water is also a big problem for Bangalore. But right now, as we stand today, we don't have a serious problem. But if the same thing continues for another 15 days or so, we will end up as we are Chennai. We had almost like 300 local lakes from where drinking water facilities were made in the past, long back. But today, out of 300 big lakes, only 80 lakes are here. Out of 80 lakes,
and so many of those lakes are contaminated as well.
Lakes are so much polluted.
Exactly. Yes,
but
sir.
How did 300 lakes become 80 lakes?
Out of 81 also, most of the lakes, you must have heard the notorious Belandur Lake here at Bangalore.
Yes,
all the lakes are highly polluted. They are only filled with sewage water. They are unfit for drinking, they are unfit for even purification. This is the big problem. You are showing on your screen the froth that had come. One of the big problem here at Bangalore is these very high phosphate levels in the water because of detergents.
Right, sir, and that's a story that happens every couple of months. You know, I mean, NDTV covers it every time it happens. But, sir, also an interesting news article that came out is how the Karnataka government is actually thinking of putting a moratorium. This is something they're discussing or plan to discuss, a moratorium on housing societies, because they say we can't just keep having more and more development, more and more of these high-rise buildings coming up and no water supply for them.
The one question is about water supply. The other problems are also there, because now most of these apartments, most of these apartments are not, have not been provided with drinking water, piped water from Kaveri. They have to dig their borewell or they have to buy the water. You will be surprised to know that 70% to 80% of the apartments are buying water in tankers, and they store it in their in their own tank and then supply. Nobody knows the source of the water that these tankers bring from. They could be from very polluted areas, and it is sometimes impossible to purify this water also. We are at this being the case of Bangalore, which has got very good rain pattern. You imagine position in the northern part of Karnataka, especially Gulbarga, Bidar, Raichur, all this area, where the total water availability itself is scarce. And Tungabhadra Dam also this time has the lowest water right now.
Right. And so, sir, clearly a massive crisis, as Chennai is getting a lot of attention, but clearly all our cities are facing this crisis. Right, sir. So I'd like to get Arunabha Ghosh in now, and he's been listening to everyone and talking. We've been discussing all these problems. And Arunabha, this last bit that I was speaking about, how Bengaluru is actually, considering a moratorium, the Karnataka government, on more and more buildings coming up, given they can't even supply drinking water. As you heard Dr. Acharya, they're talking about how some buildings are getting water from private tankers. It's quite a nightmarish situation. And do you think more of our cities need to take these things into consideration when as we go ahead and develop more and more? Delhi here, you have Noida, Gurgaon, all developing, and also we don't know what the water situation is going to be like soon.
Gargi, you're absolutely right. Any city or any area has a carrying capacity, right? The carrying capacity will depend on how many people it can support. There's one thing to say there is a right to water, but that is a right to a minimum amount of water for human survival. It is not a right to profligate use of water, inefficient use of water. So number one, of course, any kind of authorization for housing colonies, etc., has to come alongside whether there is carrying capacity or not. And this is the regulatory approach that other water-stressed regions, whether it's, say, California or parts of Southern Europe, or other parts of the world are following, that you will not get permissions to build if you are not able to show where your water will come from. Number two, when we look at I'm assuming your viewers here want to see what kind of solutions are there. So we have to first start with understanding that tapping into groundwater per se is not the problem. The problem is overdrawing on the water. So if we are able to build, whether it's our housing colonies, our townships, or our cities, with keeping in mind that carrying capacity, but also looking at continuous recharge, and recharge more than what you're withdrawing, then you have a more sustainable approach. The third issue here is of water use efficiency. In India, unlike other countries which have moved from agriculture to industry to services, all these sectors are going to continue to grow in India simultaneously. So there is going to be intersectoral competition, not just interstate competition. And therefore, we have to mandate at least 20% improvement in water use efficiency, whether it's the water I'm using for bathing at home or whether it's the water I'm using to grow crops in the fields. Unless we are able to do some of these concrete steps, we will only be either kicking the can down the road or be blaming one or the other. So focus on the carrying capacity. Focus on giving permissions only when you're recharging water more than what you're withdrawing. And then focus on continuous improvements in water use efficiency. And that requires governance and regulation, of course. But there's also opportunity for technology here. There's opportunity for behavioral change communication. There are a range of solutions that are out there. We're simply not taking it on a war footing, because we think crises can be handled and then until the next year that the crisis emerges again.
Right, and in a few days it'll start raining. We may just forget about this till next year. Again, we're facing this crisis. But yes, behavioral change is very, very important. And Dr. Acharya, Arunabha Ghosh just spoke about the issue of, and it's a sensitive issue about farmers and the wastage of water when it comes to our agriculture. It's something we can't ignore. A lot of our canals in north, we have the Ganga canals going, the upper Ganga canal, the Madhya Ganga canal, the lower Ganga canal. But in the south as well, but how do we ensure there's efficiency in the way our farmers are also using that water for agriculture? And we also obviously need to change our agriculture patterns, because if we're facing this water shortage, we cannot be constantly growing crops that require water intensity.
Yeah, water is an important issue as far as human beings are concerned. So the first priority has to be water supply to cities, because whether it is city or rural area, drinking water is the most important duty of the government. Only next should be agriculture. Industry should be the third one. But as far as agricultural use of water is concerned, today the scientific application of use of water in rural areas is not there. You may wonder, with so much of drought in Karnataka, the amount of sugarcane grown in northern Karnataka where the rain is quite less, you will be astonished. Some 2-3 districts have grown so much of sugarcane in last few decades that the amount of water that is available for other purposes is becoming less. There is a competition between agriculture and drinking water. But I would like to put it that there should be drinking water. Only next is sustainable and highly required agricultural water use. Water use in Karnataka, especially for sugarcane, has to be controlled today or tomorrow. Second,
all right,
is
so interestingly,
we are hearing a lot about drip irrigation in Israel and other countries. India should immediately, because this is one thing which is doable, improving the nature itself, plantation of trees and making greens everywhere will take decades. But one thing that can immediately be done is use of drip water irrigation in rural areas, and for cities, potable, good, healthy drinking water.
Well, it's an interesting point, and I was asking you as a BJP member that this is something that needs to be coming from the government. But Medha Patkar, your opinion on this, a need for there to be no more efficiency in water usage in agriculture in India, and also we need to realize that we cannot keep growing sugarcane, as Dr. Acharya was saying, when we are facing a water crisis year after year.
Yes, Gargi, Maharashtra is the best example,
yes,
to
absolutely
explain both the things. The housing, for example, as in Bombay, needs a different kind of technology, and there should be a control not only on the housing per se, but number of houses per family and the size of the houses, area of the house per person. And all those are the international standards which are violated and not followed because of the inequity and discrimination. The another thing is the technology which the Adivasis and the rural people were following was based on the local resources and limited water. Now with the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana, what we find in the Adivasi areas, that the best of the natural local technology is getting destroyed. And everything is built with the cement and the concrete, the roads to the houses. That needs to be stopped. And the people's traditional technology should be encouraged. I was shocked to hear the Prime Minister of India speaking to the Parliament, the first session this month, just a few days ago, that we will have to get rid of the traditional technologies. No, it's exactly the opposite. The Maharashtra has built largest number of large dams in India.
Right, ma'am, I think you was also talking about the need for more research and technology. But, coming back to the issue of Delhi as well, Raghav, do you feel that maybe we also, like Bengaluru, need to think about the amount of development that's happening if Bengaluru is considering a moratorium on, building more and more? Maybe it's something the NCR, I know Aam Aadmi Party has only got Delhi under it, but maybe something the NCR needs to discuss as well.
Well, absolutely. I think with growing urbanization, increasing population, increasing number of industrial units that are being set up, water is and will forever be a scarce commodity, and therefore not merely Delhi, I think all state governments, Haryana as well as Uttar Pradesh, which have respective jurisdictions in the NCR region, need to come together. But the one point that Mr. Madhavan made, which is perhaps the problem, which is that a lot of governments focus on access to water, so that they try and ensure that the water reaches every household. What they do not usually do is water conservation. That is the real problem, and therefore
and
I think all governments.
Behavioral changes. That's something that's
well,
going to be very
that's
tricky to bring
whenever,
about.
Whenever something as big as this needs to be done, you need all stakeholders, particularly the community, the people, the citizens, to come forward and be a part of the change. I don't think that is where the problem is. People will, once you run effective campaigns to ensure that water is not wasted. One, number two, as another speaker rightly pointed out, using groundwater is not the problem. You use as much groundwater as you need, but you do the two big things after using that. One is recycling that water. Second, recharging that groundwater.
And overall, India, we're unable to save most of the water in the monsoon. I think we're one of the lowest in the world. We save only about 8 to 10%, I believe, of
and
water.
And we consume more groundwater than any other country in the world also. See, one question I want to ask Raghav is that the lakes that you are going to create, where are you going to get the water to fill up those lakes?
So I think a detailed plan has been laid out for us. I'm not an expert in this area.
Okay.
The Delhi Jal Board is, and I'm a trained chartered accountant.
So
that's
there's
not
a
my
word
area
of
work.
Caution that
but
I would like to
of course, say. The government has sanctioned 100 crores. A lot of planning has gone into it.
Yeah.
And we have the program, this particular project, has already started. So rejuvenation of 159 lakes and creating two big lakes is in process. So we as a government has realized that water conservation is perhaps the single biggest issue that the government needs to focus on in times to come, because
right,
come
absolutely.
2024,
yeah.
come
so,
2025.
Yeah. So I want
Mr.
to have
Madhavan,
a word of
I just want to get you also here. Yeah. Medha Patkar had a couple of very radical, you know.
See, Medha Patkar has been saying
things
the same
to say,
thing.
Of course. I mean, you know, she's saying we need to control how the size of the houses that people get in this, that. But it is an emergency. It's upon us. We're seeing Chennai today. Bengaluru, as Dr. Acharya said, in a few days could be in that same situation. Gurgaon, Delhi, Noida, we're all ticking time bombs when it comes to the water issue.
You know, I think there's some... So one of the things that's not been talked about, which we should mention, is the fact that we need... if you're talking about behavioral change, you need to get people to value water. And one of the most powerful ways of changing behavior around water is to get your pricing right. So while it's important to recognize the importance of the right to water for life, right to water for livelihoods, at some point of time you'll have to draw the line and say, once the quantum of water required for your life is taken care of, you then need to start paying based on your consumption of water. What we are finding is that essentially across all our cities, water tends to be hugely subsidized. What is the incentive for someone to conserve water? You are taking water, you're treating it to a reasonable quality, you're delivering it to people, and people are using the same water, whether for drinking,
yeah,
for cooking,
absolutely.
Washing their
like
cars.
Like Raghav was saying, I think people will come together, but I don't think so. I think we're very spoiled people. We're not going to take steps unless it's there's some danda or there's some sort of rules about it.
May I just briefly comment on his point?
Gargi.
You see, we as a government realize that
Gargi.
As per that every household requires a minimum amount of water to live their life, right? And we derived that figure from the figures put out by the United Nations. And we said, we will give free water to every household in Delhi up to the maximum of 20,000 liters per month per family, right? That is the figure that we derived at. Now, there is an inbuilt mechanism to check that water should not get wasted. The moment you cross 20,000 liters, you will be charged
the
for the entire consumption.
More,
so there
yes.
is an inbuilt
I think Arnav
mechanism
wants
to check
to come in here.
That
yes.
water does not get wasted.
Go ahead, Arnav.
Gargi, while I agree with this pricing issue, there are two issues here now. One, we will not ultimately incentivize conservation of water if we only think of it as a cost. Humans are going to game this system, and we will have this conversation again and again. So we need to have proper incentive structures. Number one, like we did more than a decade ago with a Bureau of Energy Efficiency, India now needs a Bureau of Water Efficiency so that we have the incentive structures in place, whether it's for industry, whether it's for household, or whether it's for agriculture, that year on year there's an improvement in water efficiency. And we've done that with energy. We can do that with water. Number two, we are not realizing the... Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, go ahead.
Lost connection.
Go ahead.
Hello.
All right, we seem to have lost the line there with Arnab, but making some important points. But I'd like to get in some of the audience members also here when it comes to water issues, what they have to say. आप हमको बता सकते हैं आपके आप संगम विहार से हैं और आपके वहाँ पे काफ़ी वाटर प्रॉब्लम्स होती हैं, उसके बारे में बताइए.
आई एम सुधीर चौधरी, मैं संगम विहार से हूँ. एक्चुअली वहाँ पे जो पानी जब रोडों पे जमा हो जाता है उसके वजह से बहुत सारी प्रॉब्लम्स होती हैं, ठीक है. और उसके वजह से बच्चे हों या बूढ़े हों या कोई लेडीज हो, वो या तो डेथ से सफ़र करते हैं या तो सीरियस इंजरी से. तो उसके लिए ऑलमोस्ट 4.5 ईयर हो चुके हैं आम आदमी पार्टी को, और उसमें कोई प्रोसेस दिख नहीं रहा है. बेसिकली बहुत स्लो प्रोसेस है उसका.
मे आई रिस्पॉन्ड?
यस,
गो अहेड. सो इट्स संगम विहार इज पार्ट ऑफ माय लोकसभा कंस्टिट्यूएंसी, सो आई एम वेरी वेल वर्स्ड विद दैट एरिया. यू मस्ट बी टॉकिंग अबाउट द रतिया मार्ग व्हिच इज फेसिंग अ लॉट ऑफ इशू. नाउ संगम विहार इज एशियाज लार्जेस्ट अनऑथराइज्ड कॉलोनी. संगम विहार डिड नॉट हैव एक्सेस टू पाइप वाटर फॉर 70 लॉन्ग ईयर्स. संगम विहार डिड नॉट हैव सुएज सिस्टम्स फॉर द लास्ट 70 ईयर्स. इन द लास्ट 4.5 ईयर्स sewage systems have been built and structured, and now, and just for your knowledge, Ratia Mark pe pura sewer dal gaya hai, sewage system ban gaya, ab sadak ban rahi hai, usko gharon se jod rahe hain. Aur agle 6 mahine mein aap dekhenge jo aap problem bata rahe hain, jo bahut badi samasya thi ki sara sewage, sara pani bhar jata tha, all of that will be a thing of the past. The kind of revolutionary work that Mr. Kejriwal's government has done in the area of Sangam Vihar is extraordinary. This is the textbook example of how an unauthorized colony that had access to no water, had to buy water, had to purchase water through, at the hands of private tanker mafia, has been changed. And now in the next 6 months, he'll see the sewage systems will start functioning properly.
Yeah, I agree with Raghav that there are certain very positive measures they have done. For example, in our block, I stay nearby, there was the drainage system had collapsed, and it was like that for decades. In the last 2 years, their government built the entire drainage system in W block. Not only that, they are resurrecting the sewage system also. So that they are doing. But my question is that when you are saying that you want to restore those previous reservoirs and bowlies and all that, the reason why those bowlies became dry, the reason why those bowlies became dry is that the water was not allowed to enter the bowlies because it has to be rainwater. Now, construction
has
gone
constructing
all around.
All around our water sources, our lakes, our rivers, yeah. We build
so
up on
the rivers.
How
will the water go there?
Well?
2 years back, the Nainital Lake went down by 15 feet, primarily because another lake which was supplying water to it, that the construction had happened all around it. So now if they have to make those lakes, they should not fill up from
but
the
sir,
ground
this
water.
Comes back to the issue we were discussing earlier about whether we need a more localized approach, and each of and citizens need to push their local governments to ensure that cities are managed better than this central approach in which we're promising piped water to all households by 2024. But where is that water? So that it comes back
what
to that.
What is the source of that piped water? Is it groundwater? If
that,
it is,
that's what.
Then so that's not the solution. Tankers. Everybody says we are sending tankers, but where is the tanker getting the water from?
Yeah,
like we're seeing in Chennai right now, Mr. Madhavan, that the tankers are getting 3 times, 4 times the price, and that's out of reach of the poor person, and it's very, very difficult for them to manage. And recently the new Jal Shakti minister Gajendra Singh Shekhawat, he was asked about the drought situation across half the country, and he said no, this is just a media hype. And he dismissed it, and he said in the north our dams are full and the rivers are fine and it's a media hype. But we've got to get out of this sort of mentality. It's not a media hype. This is a very, very urgent situation right now.
There's only 60% water in the dams
right now.
It might have gone down a little more also.
But in other states, it's even less. In Maharashtra, it's very less. It's like 5%.
I'm talking about the national average.
Okay. But I think the fact of the matter is that after the creation of the Jal Shakti Ministry, they are now launching an abhiyan where they are hoping over the next 3 months to essentially try and conserve water. I think there are two or three questions that we need to answer. One is that if the goal is to provide pipe water supply to every household by 2024, you need to make sure that you have a sustainable source of water. You need to ensure that you are able to ensure safe water, which means you have to focus on quality. Third is you need to be able to measure some of this. Today, for example, what proportion of our households actually have access to meters in rural areas? What proportion of houses in cities have access to meters? The question is that today we have a situation where the moment you talk about meters, there's a belief that this is politically unpalatable because people will start to think they're being priced for water. But today you can't hold government accountable because you can't measure what water they're providing or not. So I think we need to start to look at measurement of that. But to just go back to two other things that have been talked about, Gargi. One is that, you know, we talked about this whole issue of rainwater harvesting. I think Chennai is a great example that we should be looking at, because Chennai is one of the states that more than 20 years ago made it a state policy to promote rainwater harvesting.
Absolutely,
at every level.
Yes, that was under Jayalalitha.
Under rural, urban, everywhere. And the question is that if rainwater harvesting alone can be the solution for all of these problems, we should have fixed it by now. It's obviously not. It's
one of many
things.
Implementation again.
So we have the intention,
but the implementation is
lacking.
So if
we want to promote
always.
This on scale in urban areas, we might want to look at what were the gaps in trying to do this in the Tamil Nadu context as well.
In fact, we can go across to Chennai now, and we're joined by Sarvanan Anudarai, spokesperson of the DMK, and also Mr. Muralidharan, AIA DMK supporter. Thank you, and great to finally have you, on the show with us. First, Mr. Muralidharan, a lot of criticism of the government of not having taken enough steps, desilting the lakes and reservoirs to ensure that Chennai is not in the situation it was today. That's what's being said. What do you think needs to be done urgently?
Partially true. Right now it's a crisis. It's about fixing the crisis right now.
That's right.
But on the longer run, this is not just the problem. There's some echo in the line. So this is not just the solution. We need to look at other things. We also had the great rainwater harvesting plan, but unfortunately not every apartment followed it because there were corrupt people, corrupt officials who could take money, and people are regretting today paying them some money and not doing away without, doing away with the rainwater harvesting. Today they are paying 50,000 rupees per month for water to tankers. So these are reality. I think as citizens, we are also responsible equally to solve the issue. But this is not just the issue. It's not the drinking water and water for utilities. Looking at a bigger picture, I think something really big staring at us. One is the amount of water usage in various industries. For example, if you want to export cars, you want to make one car which weighs around 1 ton, we have to waste something like thousands of liters of water. Similarly for meat, 1 kg of meat, we are wasting, lakhs and lakhs of liters of water. And look at the garment industry. Look at basmati rice. I think in the month of March and April, we produced close to 40 metric tons of basmati rice only for export, not for local consumption. So that's as good as exporting the water, which was something like 6,000 crore liters of water. So there are various things which are staring at us. Exactly what Niti Aayog has pointed out, there are 20 cities which is in grave danger. Chennai became the first, unfortunately, but there are many other cities going to face this. But overall, the picture is very grim. And not just this, look at the forest today. The elephants and the tigers are walking on the streets, just like our stray dogs and cattle. So the problem is
I agree with all that you're saying about,
forests
and changing agricultural patterns. But yes, Mr. Anudarai, a few years ago, Chennai was in the news for your devastating floods in which people died and there was so much water. Now it's this drought, it's this water crisis situation that's putting Chennai in the news globally.
The irony is this: if it rains also there is a problem, if it shines also there is a problem. I think this is only because the government, which is in power, has not taken adequate steps. In 2015, if we had floods, that is because proper desilting was not done. In 2019, if we are facing this drought for water, it is because again desilting was not done. So the inefficiency lies with the government. There was no proper planning. This drought situation or whatever is not happened just 2 days back or 3 days back. This is what we have been forecasting for the last 6 months. But the government,
raised questions about how Chennai has developed, and it's not just the AIA DMK. DMK has also been in power. There have been, wetlands that have been built over. There have been catchment areas that have been built over. So even if you want to conserve that water that falls in Chennai, where will it go? And that's something you can't, avoid your responsibility because I think, Tamil Nadu both your governments come in place.
It's not about... No. Let me put some perspective into this. For the last 8 years, the ADMK government has been in power. It is not, this problem is not confined to the city of Chennai. This is happening in Bangalore, this is happening in Delhi, this is happening in Bombay, this is happening in Calcutta. The development, in the, when the development happens, almost everywhere, every place, every city in the country has taken some sort of water bodies, has been built over some water bodies. So that is not the problem.
And that
the
is our folly. I think we're paying for that now. All our cities are paying for it now.
That's what. When we have stormwater drains, they say we have stormwater drains. Why can't rainwater harvesting being done in the stormwater drains? I am saying there is no proper insight when they bring in new schemes. Rainwater harvesting was brought in with much tom-tom. But what happened to after that? It was not followed at all. Of course, if there were some desalination plants, we would not have been facing this crisis, this catastrophe. Again, the government has failed. No desalination plants for the last 8 years. They're supposed to bring in 5 desalination plants, at least if 2 or 3 years brought into operation, we wouldn't be paying 10,000 rupees, 15,000 rupees per tanker. This is for someone who has the money, they are able to afford the tankers. For the people who are not able to afford these tankers, their plight is pathetic. And the government, like rightly you said, the Jal Shakti minister is saying this is media hype. That is exactly the same attitude of the rulers here. They are also saying this, the media is hyping it. There is no water crisis.
All right, well, I'd like
media,
to get away from the politics of it. I'd like to bring in
about this, speaking about it.
Right, so I'd like to bring in Sarnath Banerjee, who actually wrote a graphic novel some time ago called All Quiet in Vikaspuri, which actually spoke of water wars in a Delhi locality. And Sarnath, tell us about that, how you thought of it. Is it something that you, you saw these tensions over water and you think this is something you're going to see in the future, dystopian sort of future that we're going to all be in?
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's baffling that the dystopia has now become almost like current affairs. And the pseudoscience that I talked about in the book, which is like this mythical river, which is Saraswati, and a plumber who goes to the center of Earth to kind of, you know, get this mythical river, water from this mythical river, and the war that is happening between neighborhoods, between Greater Kailash and Jor Bagh or whatever. And water is going to be, and it is also, there's the Saraswati Sena, which is trying to protect the interest of some of these sort of people who've got interest in the property market. These were all part of course, it's full of mythical characters. There's water diviners, there are people who, all these sort of, you know, characters, colorful characters from government, etc., from politics. They're all part of this sort of so-called water-based soap opera, which I created, partly in... for the love of my city, and partly also because, you know, there was a general distant rumbling. It was originally called the Battle of Kalkaji, which is near the neighborhood where I live. Now it's all kind of coming true, and it's like a defeat of a speculative fiction work, and yeah.
All right, so yes, it is coming. Well, in Delhi, we are seeing in some areas, we hear about, you know, violence over water. But in Chennai right now, it's very much a reality what we're seeing with this fight over water tankers and everybody, you know, lining up to get water. I'd like to get in some of the young people here who've been listening to all these issues that we've been discussing. Yes, sir, go ahead. Do you have any opinion or question you'd like to ask?
Yes. Good evening. Sir, I have a question for you. While we were serving the area Sangam Vihar, we actually met people where they're facing actual water crisis. They still have to pay the mafias a lot of amount, which even they have tankers coming to the locality, but they don't receive water. And we are sitting on an anshan, we are sitting on a fast, where people are joining us and they're actually telling us their problems. So, sir, how do you think a 40-year-old established colony, even if unauthorized, it's the basic right. Water is the basic right.
Right.
Yes,
so, as I said, you see, a lot needs to be done. But if you were to compare the Sangam Vihar of 2015 with the Sangam Vihar of 2019, you would find that a colony, which is the Asia's largest unauthorized colony that had access to no water, has now access to water. There may be some specific areas where tankers are plying without any water, or there is no water. Perhaps, I don't know, the allegation that people have to purchase water in those areas. But if there are some specific areas, certain blocks in Sangam Vihar that you would like to bring to my notice, I will certainly speak to the vice chairperson of the
Delhi
Jal Board and ensure that
that
doesn't happen. But
Raghav,
what you must also appreciate, I am sure you would, once you travel you know, widely in Sangam Vihar, that piped connections have now been given to various houses, you know, blocks after blocks in Sangam Vihar.
All right, well, with that, we'll have to slip into a short break. We're out of time, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about the solutions and, you know, not just Delhi, but also overall across the country solutions to this water crisis and how we can change people's behavior. Welcome back. We're talking about India's water crisis. We're already seeing a water emergency in Chennai, and we're going to possibly see more of this across the country. Already nearly 50% of the country is in a drought-like situation. But let's get the audience in here, and let's get some questions from them about this. You've been listening to all the panelists talking about the crisis and solution.
Good evening, sir. So my question is, recently this have been highlighted, the water crisis in Chennai, where we've seen that Oscar-winning Hollywood actor, who's been a lead environmental activist, who's commented on the Leonardo DiCaprio, who's commented on water crisis in Chennai. So don't you think all the entire situation has somewhere affected India's image globally when it comes to recklessness of the entire country, including the government and the people of the nation, our reckless behavior toward the situation? So what would you...
Obviously, it's affecting India's image abroad. Chennai right now is globally famous as a city facing the worst water crisis. But, you know, our problem right now is more immediate. We need to take care of our people.
I wouldn't worry about our image at all. If Absolutely. We've got a problem, let's face the reality that we've got a problem. I think one of
But
I
when we talk what, about being a superpower and we're talking about increasing our GDP, this is going to cost our GDP. It's going to cost, in terms of health, in terms of water.
You know, it would be utopian to think that no superpower has an underbelly or doesn't have problems. So
right.
I think, you know, we should just stop worrying about the image and folk. And, you know, it's our worry about the cosmetics which have actually led to us ignoring the real problem.
Okay.
We've got to address an issue.
I'd like to get in more questions. You have a question for Medha Patkar.
Yes. Good evening, ma'am. You mentioned that we have a lot of traditional means of water conservation that have gone out of use. So I was curious if the modern means of engineering and these traditional methods could be merged in some innovative ways. Is there any research that has gone into that?
Yes, go ahead, ma'am. Your answer to this, is there any way
you
to
see,
merge the two?
If there is a continuum of various kinds of technologies, we must start. Yeah. My answer is not to merge the two, but put them on the continuum. Begin with the most decentralized solutions. The Bishnois taught us that the green cover, saving the tree cover, is the best solution. We want at least 15% percolation, precipitation of every rainwater harvesting needs to be resorted to. Every roof we must catch the water from. We cannot say that the urban cities will get the water from the distant rural and the tribal areas at the cost of the people who live there since generations, and they consider the rivers as the mothers. We must not start with the big dams on the big rivers. That is absolutely unscientific.
All right, ma'am, I'd like to get in Sarnath Banerjee here again.
64,000 square kilometer Tapi catchment. 1 lakh square kilometer Narmada catchment. And then, just 1 minute, Gandhi.
Sure, ma'am.
And we must have the rainwater harvesting with the green water harvesting and the groundwater reserves, but we must change the paradigm. Climate change is taking a toll of the water with maximum heat, rising temperature, and also evaporation. We must change our paradigm, the big development projects and the illegal sand mining kind of mafiagiri must be stopped. All these, including the lifestyle consumption rates.
Right, I think that's something all of us need to think about, how we can change our, you know, lifestyles and have better habits and conserve water, as well as, you know, reduce wastage and consumption. But Sarnath Banerjee, you know, we just spoke about how Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, Instagrammed about the Chennai crisis, but we're not hearing enough from our own celebrities. What do you think about that? You know, not enough people here are speaking about this crisis.
Well, there is a, you know, a lot of it, a lot of the, like Ms. Patkar said, like, this is a lot of it is like lifestyle driven and this sort of, you know, strange kind of short-termism, you know, like this sort of laissez-faire approach, and we call it like, whatever Hindu existentialism or whatever that, you know, it's not, let's not panic. Let's just have a, just like relax and things are just going to like, this shall too pass. Now we are in a state where this shall not pass, but this shall remain. Because I and a lot of my colleagues believe that Earth is a spaceship. It is not the Wild West. You cannot sort of, you know, you cannot like just go on developing. And a lot of our narrative is built around development. If you look at like media, if you look at like the kind of the series that are coming, they're all like all about like sort of really rich people doing really like fun things.
Right. If we can't go around like, you know, business as usual, clearly. And final word to Saravana and Anudharai, you wanted to say something, so just go ahead and final word to you.
Yeah. See, when we speak about, there was a valid question that why the celebrities in India are not speaking about it. That's a very, very valid point. I think the celebrities should come out. Even if they're going to offend the government, they should not be worried about it. They should not be scared about that. Because if celebrities get out a message, I think it will have a larger impact.
I think they get a message out to the young people,
speak about water conservation. Yes.
All right.
Right.
Well, we're completely out of time. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us. Thank you all for being with us and in studio. And thank you, the audience here, for your questions. And it's something we all need to think about, what we can do to save water, to conserve water going forward. Otherwise, we're going to be in a water emergency in the country. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.